Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right, it is just after 5, and we got plenty to get through in this 5 o'clock hour here on the Lori and Julia Show, so let's get this thing started. How about it?
Let's get it started. So, okay, we'll be making our way down to the Cat Video Festival. We are last on stage tonight, Julia.
Yes, we are.
We usually kick things off.
No, but we're usually.
No, Jason always kicks things off because he's got to get up so early.
Well, they're just doing it in the order of the show. So it's Jason, then Rocco and Donna, and Steve, and then Colleen and
Steve.
Bradley.
Steve isn't here. It's Rocco and Donna. And that's why Rocco wears shorts and a lobster shirt.
Clomp, clomp.
Just to try and make up for the absence of Steve. And then Holly and Bradley.
Yes.
And then me and you. Mm-hmm. Ta-da! Here's the light show.
I can't wait to see what the laser show is. I don't think I've seen one outside. Have you?
I don't.
Should be interesting. Yeah. I know why they're doing it, because it's the pets. But yeah, Katie Kay and I mentioned that the other day. She said, I'm glad they're doing that as opposed to like fireworks because of just the noise for dogs and all that
it's
stuff.
Hell. So.
It really is.
You know, my mom with her two dogs, and you know, she's just like, oh, the fireworks is just the worst thing. And I don't know how cats feel about fireworks.
Yeah, mine's not too fond of fireworks. July 4th was not a great night.
Yeah, no, right.
So you have a cat, Josh?
Yes.
What's your cat's name?
Tug.
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 That is Sutton's possible boyfriend in Edge of Summer, the book that we just read today for the Low J Book Club. Uh-huh. That's a guy's nickname, and his
it's a cute name.
A spoiler, but he's a baseball player, and he got it when he was like in junior high because he was always tug on his hat.
Okay,
before
that's
he was,
cute.
I think he was a pitcher.
Sure.
It was a tick, like a baseball tick,
right?
Tug,
huh?
Yeah,
that's cute.
Okay. So
that's cute. Oh,
okay. So. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is just unbelievably good right now. Just, it's unbelievably good because it is so much, there is so much drama within the drama that it's almost like your head feels like it's spinning, the show. But I know you didn't see the show last night.
But I saw.
You saw the clubhouse. Andy Cohen had Lisa Rinna and Maren Morris.
Mm-hmm. And it was taped last week.
That's right. That's why Maren Morris wasn't sporting the bangs trauma.
Right.
I thought it was a fresh show last night. But then when I realized I saw Lisa Rinna in that outfit.
Last Thursday.
Last week going into tape. So Maren Morris has cut her bangs since this episode.
Okay. Because I kept looking for the bangs. I'm like, what's wrong?
She's just
pushed
her hair
sides.
Is gorgeous. The bang trauma, I was so happy that I didn't have to see her in those bangs. Because she is so gorgeous.
She's gorgeous.
It's just, you know, we've all had a bad... You know, done something that somebody talks you into that they think is going to look cute.
Yes.
I have my skunk hair.
Yes.
Maren has her bangs.
Yep. We all have
her curtain bangs. That's what they call these bangs.
Why? Because you can.
Because they're low bangs.
Sure.
They're the kind of bang that really basically doesn't ever look good on anybody except a damn
bang.
Supermodel. Yeah, but I mean, a bang that hangs like over your eyebrow.
Who cares? No,
that's a curtain bang.
You can't see,
but it's very sexy and it looks good if you're laying down and looking up.
Apparently.
Anyway, so Lisa Rinna and Maren Morris were in the clubhouse, and Andy and Lisa Rinna did not have a good episode last night. And I'll just say this: even though it was taped last week, and Lisa just watched it, you know, maybe I don't know how. I think the housewives. I don't think they see the show. The edited thing until the night it airs.
I think you're right.
But on last night's episode, one of the things that's been an ongoing thing is that, you know, in last season, Lisa Rinna made a big deal and basically thank you shamed Garcelle Beauvais for not sending Harry Hamlin a thank you card for a jar of Harry's carbonara sauce that he sent home with Garcelle. Okay, that was an actual storyline of hers. And
but so, it was a big deal.
It felt so pathetic. Ridiculous. Okay. Ridiculous. And anyway, Sutton was in the clubhouse about 3 months ago, and Andy always stirring the pot, and he said something like, "Well, have you, you know, your Miss Manners? What did you think about all of that with Erica? Mm-hmm. You thank you shaming Garcelle?" And she just said, "Well, I know I invited Lisa and Harry to sit at my table at the Elton John Oscars party, and I never got a thank you." Mm-hmm. And Lisa Rinna has always felt that she and Harry just attended that for free. She has not realized
that someone pays for the table she's sitting at.
Yes, mm-hmm. She didn't. But Sutton felt bad about it, and she apologizes on social media. I shouldn't have. That was a petty thing.
Right.
But Andy was fishing for that thing. Well, it has become a storyline on the show.
Which is so dumb.
And on last night's episode, Lisa asked Sutton to meet her for rosé. And she was really quite awful. She said, "I love to torture you." And Sutton was just like, "You know, I really am sorry that I used that example. That was embarrassing to you and Harry.
Right.
You
right.
were my guest. I right. wanted you to come. I shouldn't
right.
have said that."
Right.
And Lisa said, "I'm over it. We're good. We can move on." Then the very next day, Lisa Rinna has all the ladies over to her house for Rinna Rosé, a launch party, mm-hmm. a wine tasting, mm-hmm. and they get wasted. And the end of the episode with Lisa Rinna bringing up the Elton John mm-hmm. incident, the party, mm-hmm. and screaming at Sutton to get the bleep out of her house.
Okay.
And Sutton's eyes are just like, I mean, because she's just, and Lisa is just like losing it.
I saw a cut of it.
Losing it. It was mm-hmm. so, and so here Andy basically was giving her so much shade and mm-hmm. stirring the pot so hard. So if you can play the one where she's talking about her social media behavior, which I do know, you remember she got into it with the Real Housewives of Dubai because...
Yes.
People were calling Lisa Rinna out that she has double standards for Garcelle because she's black uh-huh. about the marinara sauce right. and everything else. And Lisa Rinna said, "Quit calling me a racist. You know, I'll express myself when and how I want. I'm not afraid of any of you hoes." And then she said, "And if you're just so triggered by our show and a lot of you bleeps are, go watch Dubai." Then all the because that's mostly black.
Oh, okay.
Then the Dubai ladies came out and said, "Tread lightly, you're being disrespectful, keep our name." You know, what do we have to do with Beverly Hills?
Right. So here's the thing.
That's not accountability, though.
No,
I'm a mess, I know. That's not accountability.
Here's the thing about it is that I like her. And so I'm watching this and she's just saying, "I'm such a mess." She doesn't own up to anything. And I just thought, is that the new excuse?
Well, because this is from Lisa Rinna Own It. She went after Lisa Vanderpump.
Yes.
About that dog. She mm-hmm. went after Yolanda Hadid and
about
gossiped.
Lyme's disease.
I gossiped that she had Munchausen. Went yeah. after, who's Denise Richards and wanting to know. And yet she is,
She can just blow it
She's
off.
She's blaming it on grief about her mom.
And she was drunk.
And she was drunk. She was doing that. As she just talks over people. And I think when she said, you know, "I'm fully aware that I'm a mess right now. Let's hope it gets better." I think that is her secret plea to Andy not to fire her.
Oh, I think you might be right.
Mm-hmm.
Because Andy said, you know, "I don't understand. Here you are. You and Sutton have a mea culpa. You make up. You apologize."
And then very next day.
You turn on her and she goes, "Andy, I was drunk." So mm-hmm. that's an excuse. I feel like she just has been able, though, Lori, to use that excuse and be flippant because she's Lisa Rinna.
Yeah.
It really didn't look good on her last night.
You know,
no matter how cute she is.
Right.
No matter how much cleavage we saw. Oh, my gosh. Is that show, you might as well just call it Don't Wear a Top in the clubhouse.
I know.
Show.
There was a lot of good cleavage. But she screamed at the top of her lungs, get out of my house.
I feel bad for Sutton.
And I feel like the Bravo TV audience is like, no, you, Lisa Rinna, get out of our house.
I think we're sick of the picking on Sutton. I mean, let this woman go.
But every Kyle... This has been
Erica, Dorit, and
Lisa
and Diana
and Erica. They find someone to pick on. A couple seasons ago was Lisa Vanderpump.
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's been a pattern with Beverly Hills, and that's why they call it Beverly Hills Mean Girls.
It's not attractive.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been a juicy 5 o'clock hour. We never get to talk about the Housewives at five. It's almost like Britney's here. All right. We'll be right back with the Dirt Alert. Holly, it is the Cat Video Festival today. Yay!
It is, and what a perfect evening.
It really is.
To watch cat video festivals at CHS Field, mm-hmm. followed by a laser show spectacular.
Yes, we're trying to think if we've ever seen a laser light show, and we can't, I don't know if I have.
Well, now is a good time to have new beginnings.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Well, we're going to follow up a story that we talked about in the Dirt Alert yesterday afternoon with an update on what the heck is happening over at HBO Max and Discovery Plus.
Okay. It's not time. They haven't announced, they haven't had the earnings call yet, have they?
Yes, they have.
Oh, they have.
I think
okay.
they did. I think
All right.
I saw
Tell us
something.
Everything.
Yes. So it has been announced that HBO Max and Discovery Plus will be fused together, HBO Max and Discovery Plus.
What name?
We don't know yet, but it will launch as a single service next summer. So we have until next year to enjoy these two separate streaming services before they combine their powers and become one massive entity. Now, during this quarter two earnings call, at the end of the day, it was said putting all the content together was the only way we saw to make this a viable business.
Which means they've laid off a lot of people.
Yeah.
And hopefully they have
eliminated
a good sense of keeping the HBO Max name and dumping the Discovery Plus name.
Yeah. Now, they did reassure people that HBO will continue to be a major brand. On this call, it was said that HBO will always be the beacon and the ultimate brand that stands for television quality.
Mm.
Yeah. So we don't know what this is going to be called, but they did say that across platforms, HBO Max, HBO Discovery Plus subscribers, there are 92 million people who are currently subscribed.
Wow.
That's a lot of folks.
Yeah,
that is a lot of folks.
You know, and the CEO of Warner Brothers Discovery, David Zaslav, addressed the controversy surrounding the canceled releases for Batgirl.
Right.
Okay, what'd he say?
And Scoob, Haunted Holiday.
Yes.
He said, we're not going to launch a movie until it's ready. He said, we're not going to launch a movie to make a quarter, and we're not going to put a movie out unless we believe in it. So please, Hollywood, speak that statement.
Okay, well, then the New York Post, their sources were right, and the early testing, the audience hated Batgirl.
Oof.
And that Batgirl's too meaningful to the DC universe to have...
The first time out of the gate, be crappy.
Be someone that that the audience doesn't like.
Yep.
Now, the CEO of Warner Brothers Discovery went on to mention quality when discussing the DC cinematic universe, of which Batgirl would be a member of, implying that, like you guys just said, Batgirl was not up to standards that he believes is necessary for the DC brand. He said the objective is to grow the DC brand, to grow the DC characters, but also our job is to protect the DC brand, and that's what we're going to do now.
Yeah, it's bad. I don't know. I don't think it's like necessarily... Who's playing Batgirl?
Right.
It's the whole story, the whole ability for something to be spun off, the arc
seven
of the
months,
story.
Seven months,
$90 million. Wow.
Yeah, and he name-checked other movies like Black Adam, Shazam 2, and The Flash as DC movies that he's very excited about.
Okay.
And The Flash with Ezra Miller, you know, they've been making headlines recently facing allegations of abuse and misconduct.
Right.
But, you know, the inside baseball concern about that is, I've heard some scuttlebutt in conversation about it. It's that Ezra Miller's drama is not making enough headlines to impact the average moviegoer, meaning that... Right.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
You know, okay, so you listen to my talk and you're here and you kind of know about it. But for somebody who's not paying attention, and they may be like, oh, The Flash, I'll go and see that.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe they'll just recut the movie or try and figure out how to save a $90 million movie. It's interesting about Scooby, but it always, you know, I don't know. It just, I guess you never know with the New York Post if their insider scoop is right. But that was what they had said, was that they cannot afford to mess up this line of potential big box office movies with one bad movie.
Yeah, the CFO of the company said that Batgirl and Scoob Holiday Haunt are, quote, examples of streaming films that do not fit this new strategic approach.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So they didn't like them. And they're like, let's cut our losses.
Wow.
And we'll get to the bottom line.
Would you think we'll ever see it? Probably not.
Gosh, you know, can't say for certain. I mean,
because they wouldn't sell it because it's not in their interest. It's not about the money. It's about the potential for money.
Right.
Exactly. No, they would never sell Batgirl. No, this is part of the Warner Brothers cinematic universe, and they are very invested, clearly, in growing the DC cinematic universe because they haven't really done as good of a job as Disney has.
I wish they would make some mid-range movies and rom-coms.
Yes,
and,
I do too. And I'm just so have sick some of the big blah blah.
Yeah, just have some more fun kind of movies.
Oh, same. Remember going to the movies on a Saturday afternoon and you could go and you could watch something for 90 minutes. It was an enjoyable time. And then that was it.
Well, Holly, I think that's why a lot of these theaters are, because we haven't had that many movie releases. I mean, the Tryon, the Grandview is doing this. All these independent, where they're showing like cool Westerns from the 50s and they're running the trailers for them. And it might just be, you know, only four showings or something, but giving people an option who don't have Turner Classic Movie or another premium place to watch kind of a movie that should be enjoyed on the big screen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad that you mentioned the Grandview Laurie over in St. Paul and the Trilon Theater, which is in Minneapolis. That's a repertory theater here in Minneapolis. And they always have great movies to check out. And the little theater they have is fantastic. I've seen several movies there.
Yeah. And the Heights, the one in Columbia. That's a beautiful one. It is kind of fun because, there weren't that many movies released this summer.
No, you're right.
You know,
you're right. I just got a note from the Alamo.
Oh, Alamo Draft House.
Yes, and
are they doing some showings of something?
Well, they're excited that we should come and see the Bullet Train.
Yeah,
the Brad Pitt movie.
Yeah,
I spent a lot of money there.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's
I can lure my boys to do something with me if we go to the Alamo where you can watch the movie.
Drink. Yeah.
Right there.
Let's go watch Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I know you've never heard of it, but you're going to love
me. Like
Trust me.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. That's a classic.
I know.
Totally. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Holly.
Holly, thank you. That was the Inside Hollywood Dirt Alert.
Okay, we have to do something really quick.
What?
We have to wish a happy birthday to Vivian Baldwin. It's her 12th birthday. They're on the way to the Cat Video Festival.
Oh, fun.
Vivian, happy birthday.
Love
Vivian.
Your name.
I know. Happy birthday. Hope you have fun tonight at the Cat Video Festival. All right.
Now that it is 5:30 on a Thursday, it's time to look at some, or dive into some Lori's theory.
She has a theory.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of theories are you going to
today? I am bringing a theory about cats and catnip.
Oh, I like this.
Because in honor of Cat Video Festival today, this is coming out of Morioka, Japan, from the university there. And this is fascinating new research, because what is it with cats and catnip anyway? Because anyone who's ever seen a cat aggressively rub against, roll on, lick and chew catnip, no, there is something distinctly intoxicating to them about the plant. But what is it?
What plant?
Catnip.
That's an actual plant?
That's a catnip toy has catnip in it. Yes.
It's okay. I didn't know this.
It's also, it's Asian counterpart. Yeah, no, catnip. Well, Josh, am I explaining that right?
Yes, you are.
Catnip is, like in Japan or in Asian countries, they call it silver vine.
Yes, I do know that much.
Yeah, okay. So cat people know that catnip, that whatever the catnip toys, it's got something in there that is getting released that the cat loves, because they get super excited. In fact, many of the videos we're going to see tonight, cats are under the influence of catnip.
Of the nip.
Of the catnip.
Okay.
And putting intoxication aside for the moment, the researchers believe that our pretty little kitties may have evolved to like catnip as a way to protect themselves from pets.
Oh.
Even in the famous musical that is terrible called Cats, there is a scene where you see a cat intoxicate another cat using catnip.
Ugh.
I know.
I was saying that to the movie, not catnip.
I know. So the leaves of catnip and silver vine release something that are, they're basically called iridoids, and it protects plants from pests and insects. So the research team decided to see, is this why cats like catnip? And yes, they found that the cats like it because no bugs will bug them. Won't come around them.
Wish we could eat catnip.
I know.
Wish there was mosquito nip.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so, my gosh, I would love this. Or bee nip. The bees are out.
Yeah, well,
it's
the hornets that really like to buzz people. The bees
I had a bee in my bee chasing food last night. I was going crazy.
Anyway, so was published in iScience, and cats show it doesn't matter. They can lick the chemicals off of something and they'll roll around. But yes, these two different ingredients, it's like, because how cats play with catnip is they shred it, they break it, they bite it. And that's releasing the chemicals
that are
in the catnip.
Yeah.
You know all this, Josh, as a kitty cat.
I do, yes.
Of Tug.
It's the call it cat weed.
Cat weed.
Oh, really?
So it's doing two things. It's making them pleasantly stoned.
Okay.
And it's keeping the bugs away that might bother them because they're pleasantly intoxicated.
I love knowing this.
It's a strong insect repellent. So I guess if you have catnip and you're in a mosquito-y area, you could try, you know, doing something with your hands.
Josh?
I don't know.
I'll
I don't know why it wouldn't.
Try it.
You'll have to try it.
Report back tomorrow. That's your job tonight.
Yeah, right.
That's fine. I'll go to a lake or something where there is mosquitoes.
Yeah. And it was, they just said when a cat damages catnip, it releases this very strong insect repellent at the same time that it's making them feel giddy.
Interesting.
So it's a giddy kitty who's not
it's
getting
bit.
It's
a giddy kitty.
So giddy kitty.
A giddy kitty.
I want to be a giddy girl not getting bit.
Yeah, well, you know, we're going to see a lot of giddy kitties tonight.
I know we are. I absolutely love how cute people dress up and they wear the ears and the makeup and the outfits. It's so fun.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a perfect night for it, too.
And what time is that at tonight?
6 o'clock at CHS Field. Mm-hmm. The door is open for the Cat Video Festival.
That's right.
Yeah, $15.
Mm-hmm.
Five and under are free.
That's right. There you go. Okay, so here's another theory.
Okay.
Now, this is, let me just tell you, this is not from iScience. I got this out of the Journal of Behavioral and Experimental Economics, which not my favorite.
Okay. Sounds like you'd get a little lost in that one, Lori. I hope this was a bullet-pointed story.
It is. I'm pretty sure it is. Okay? Pretty sure. And I bring this theory to you because the buzz in Seattle for Now, you know my mom's not a football fan. She's a hardcore Mariners fan.
I know.
And she backed away from the Seahawks a long time ago. But Russell Wilson has gone to Denver with his same number. And, you know, Seattle fans.
Which is the 12th player, right?
Well, they're the 12th man.
The 12th man.
He's number three.
Yep.
He was a huge, huge person in the community, though. He was always with, I mean, he's a very active in his community. Okay. He's doing the same thing in Denver. People took it very personally. It would have been like with when Kirby Puckett, remember there was that one year when, oh, he might leave and people were like, oh my God, you know.
He can't go. Or Joe Mauer.
Anything like that. So anyway.
Graham Tarkington.
My mom said, well, I am going to watch the first football game. And I said, why? And she goes, the first game is the Seahawks against Denver. I want to see if the crowd is going to boo Russell Wilson.
Oh, and it's a home game in Seattle.
Yes.
Oh, all right. I read there's something. Okay, go ahead.
So the theory is that what they did in this study is that
Russell play harder than ever.
Well, revenge games are real. Yep. Pro athletes will play better against their former team.
100%.
And now a new study from this research shows that there is such a thing as revenge game because athletes' emotions have a much greater on their greater effect on their performance when taking on their teammates. And they analyze echonomic metric models on game data from the NBA, NHL, six European football leagues, and then they got data from NBA.com, Hockey Reference, and Understat, and then they ran the numbers, and then looking at who was an ex-player.
Sure. And that's true. I believe it. Don't you think revenge, if you are going to a reunion at a school you used to go to, or you're going to even I feel like we had revenge stuff as high school girls. If you go to I feel like I know it's more for athletes, but I feel like everyone will try harder if you go back to anything.
Well,
I'm not going to give it any more attention than it needs to, but I'm excited for Panthers versus Browns because I'm a Baker Mayfield fan, and I'm not going to talk about the other side of that coin.
Please don't, because we have no idea.
But it's the same situation. It's a revenge situation where somebody is playing against his former teammates.
Yes. I hope we get the revenge when Kirk Cousins plays for someone else.
Yeah, right.
I'd like to watch that revenge game.
Motivation and emotions are key factors affecting an athlete's performance. Yes. And it's not like any other game. When you play your ex-team, 100%. There's a heightened sense of everything. So my mom, she wasn't sure. I said, I'll bet you anything he gets booed. And she said, oh, I don't know about that. I said, they're going to boo him. He's got his old number. He's with a different team. The fans miss him. They take it personally. Their love.
And it's in Seattle?
I don't know if
it's in Seattle.
Seattle,
he'll get swallowed alive, yes.
He will get booed. But my mom is just, she was being you, Julia. She was just being really missed.
People want the best for everyone.
Yeah, you know, and she's like, I go, no, I'm pretty sure he's going to get booed hard, you know, but he's going to play great. And that was just my theory. Yes. So when I came across this thing that revenge games are real, that pro athletes will play better against their former team.
Oh, that'll be a fun game, though. Laura.
Yeah.
All right. That'll be a fun game. Is this the revenge song?
It could be.
Is this the Flaming O's?
This is Long Live the King by Flaming O's.
They're downtown tonight, St. Paul, too, if you're going to the Cat Festival.
Yeah, just listen to this song for a second. It's about Elvis.
Thanks, Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
Oh, yeah.
Long Live the King. All right, listen, we'll be right back with who the hell knows?
Okay, just got a note from...
Yeah.
We said happy birthday to Vivian.
Yes.
It's her 12th birthday. She wanted us to do it at the Cat Video Festival tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to happen.
And I want to say it's not going to happen. Sweet Linda is so I just want to say to Vivian again, happy, happy birthday, you 12-year-old.
No, we have got shout outs on Twitter that we have to get to. So Jeff, who's the lead singer of the band that you loved last night, Free and Easy.
Oh, he was
band
so fun.
At Highland Park Reserve. He said, hey, it's your entertainment last night. Thanks for the mention live on air. So that was Free and Easy Band.
He really is a good... They sing everything you want, the covers, to dance and have fun.
Let's see. Someone, Sila, I think, she said, Bobby is still on General Hospital. Her name is Jackie Zeman. Oh. That's the actress.
Yes, of course it is.
And then someone else, when we were talking about that, oh, help us, you two are a riot.
Yeah,
people thought you were onto something about the HBO, you know, that Discovery will get rolled into.
Yes, I think that makes more sense, doesn't it?
With the Magnolia news. You're reading the tea leaves correctly.
Fantastic. All right, I have Magic Mike, XXX news, okay?
Oh.
So they've wrapped up the filming, and it originally was starring Twandy Newton.
I think so.
She has a different way
that
we've all been pronouncing it wrong
for all these years.
But I can't remember. Yeah. So, and then she was no longer in the film, and Selma Hayek came in. And so this is what Channum Tatum.
What's his name?
We always call him Channum.
Just call him Channum and don't even try and explain. We mean Channing Tatum.
I just want people
Channum
to know.
Channum is shorthand for Channing Tatum. It's too hard to call his
it
name.
It is. I love Channum.
Channum is the best shortcut.
Okay, so Selma Hayek says that Channum has even got better at his dance moves. And if you thought he could dance before, you're going to realize you haven't seen anything. His dance skills just got better. And she says that the new movie has been so much fun. Look, I'm not going to complain. On the average day, I had to work with 12 strippers. Not one.
Right.
Not two. 12. It was still hard work, though. And so in this whole story is going to be, according to Channum, a very, very strong love story. It's really strong. It's the woman's role. Selma Hayek is stronger than Magic Mike's.
Yeah.
In this, in that it's about a woman stuck at a horrible strip show like Chippendales and then realizing, what the hell am I doing here? And then Magic Mike comes down from the ceiling and she gets to go down the rabbit hole and ask, what do I really want?
Is this going to be a love interest like between Selma and Channum?
I think so. And I'm kind
of
excited.
And she's the older woman. She's the older busty stripper on the wrong side of the clock.
Track. On the wrong side of the pole?
The wrong side of the clock.
Oh,
the
got
age.
It. Yeah. Oh.
For dancing.
I hope so, but I think it sounds kind of fun and sassy.
Yeah. I mean, he's a great character. If you remember, Amber Heard was in the first one.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I thought we were done.
No,
and
no.
I'm like, this is the first
song.
This is
that
Magic Mike.
Yeah. We lost our minds. Mm-hmm. We were screaming like we were. I was with Anne Marlene.
I'm just a poor
losing. And Amber Heard was in that movie, if you remember correctly, Julia.
Who is Amber Heard?
Oh, she was.
Amber Heard, yeah. She was in that first Magic Mike. And we've got to give a shout out to Channum's amazing movie that he made, a comedy road movie called Dog.
I need to see that. I need to see it.
It is so good.
I watched that.
Isn't that a great movie?
It is
such a feel good.
It's fantastic.
It's just fantastic. And just, it's based on basically, you know, a true story that he kind of found out about this when he did a documentary about the service dogs that they have for people who have post-traumatic stress and service military members, and then they found out about this true story, and then he and his producing partner, and they just said, let's just call it Dog.
And you guys both saw it?
I saw it in the theater when it came out because I just wanted to go in the theater because it came out this year.
You saw it with your mom in Seattle.
Yeah.
Because you didn't want to watch
Bridgerton. Julia, you said you saw it?
I saw it on video.
Yeah.
Tearjerker? Is it a tear movie?
It's such a good, uplifting, wonderful movie. He's just wonderful.
I don't know a lot of bad Channing Tatum movies, honestly. I've seen a bunch of them, but like, I don't think I've really come across any terrible ones.
Yeah, and I'm
now. I find it's interesting that you want Beyonce's body instead of Channing.
I mean, I was mesmerized in theaters when I saw that Magic Mike trailer for the first time. I was abs.
I know it. Is this
and Matthew McConaughey?
Oh my God!
With his Dallas and his deep cut leather pants with his V. Oh dear.
Yeah, that was. A vest on a well-muscled man
chiseled man
with no shirt never gets old.
Yeah, I can't see Laura anymore. The windows are fogging up.
Yeah, I know it. Holy cow. Because Sturgis is going on right now. Yes. My dad said it's going to be like 100 every day. Wow. And I'm like, Dad, are you going to do that old just wear your vest over your torso? Because I got the arms for it. And I'm like, you do have the arms for it.
I love that. That's hysterical.
But no, he'll wear a t-shirt because you don't want your leather
to...
You
don't want your body.
Chafe.
No. No chafing.
No chafing.
Do you think we're going to see a cat aerobics video tonight?
Yes.
After all this talk, I really think we are.
Yes, under the influence of catnip. Both, thereby both getting high and keeping the bugs away.
Yep, they're going to be chasing after the bugs while doing aerobics. Right.
You know, there aren't that many bugs because we're in a little drought, by the way.
Oh, my gosh. So, can you believe it?
No, I know. So it's kind of good for that, but, you know.
Yeah,
water. The field might be a little wet.
Yeah, water in the morning. Water your plants in the morning.
Right.
Just to remind everybody.
Thank you.
A little watering tip.
And if you're watering your lawn, according to Larry Farr, you need to get at least an inch of water.
It's just let it go. You don't have enough water.
I mean, we had a good storm the other night, and that was like 5 seconds.
We didn't even hear it, Julian. I didn't hear it. Right,
I got a text like that was crazy, and I got home and my furniture was all over everywhere, and I'm like, apparently
it stormed, and I slept right through it. I didn't hear a thing either. It's like, no. What is up with that? Oh yeah, sex sleep.
Ditto. That's a good sleep.
It's a good sound sleep. But anyway, yeah, everybody else is talking about the storm, and you're like, well, what storm?
And power went out. I woke up to it, but I was like, why is this like lightning like crazy and thundering like crazy? It never is like this.
Well, it's that old heat lightning, as they call it.
I love heat lightning. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we're going to see everyone tonight at the Cat Video Festival. Thank you, Josh. We'll all be back tomorrow. Meow is right.